You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. 2 months ago, it wasn't clear that the House and Senate would be doing much of substance between now and the end of the session, given that this is an election year and given that there's precedent in an election year for not getting a whole lot done at the end of the session. In an hour, though, the House of Representatives will convene to deal with the most historic and significant financial bailout plan in U.S. history. The $700 billion plan was agreed to by House and Senate leaders late last night. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi announced that the House will take up the bill today. A vote is expected today. The Senate is expected to vote on the bill by Wednesday. Joining us now to talk about her part in those negotiations and to help explain the bill to us is Representative Carolyn Maloney of New York. She sits on the House Financial Services Committee. Representative Maloney, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John and Adora, for your interest in helping to explain it to your listeners.
Well, a lot of taxpayers are very interested in this, and I heard both Republicans and Democrats talking about how nobody likes it, but we have to vote for it because I gather the Secretary of the Treasury and Federal Reserve Chairman Bernanke says it's an absolute emergency here. They were the ones who also said everything's fine a few months ago. So are you absolutely sure this is an emergency?
Well, I think it is, particularly as your program just announced that, yet there is another banking failure, that Wachovia is now looking for a merger with other banks. And there's just a limit to how many of these forced marriages can take place. The economy is really in a turmoil, and our economy, as you know, operates a great deal on confidence as much as capital, and there is no confidence in the markets now. It's only a matter of time before businesses and individuals feel the negative impact of this frozen credit market. So businesses of all sizes rely on short-term credit to fund their daily operations, to make payroll, pay suppliers, and investors are now so nervous that they've stopped lending to the biggest companies.
Well, Congresswoman, given the Wachovia story, which you mentioned, which I think is rather germane to what's going on here, couldn't it also be said that as this bailout plan moved through the House and Senate and negotiations were taking place, that Wachovia continued to slide, that in some sense Wachovia's demise here, if it does go down, is a sign that there isn't a lot of confidence in precisely what you are doing?
Well, or it shows a need for what we're doing. I will say that earlier when there was a run on the money market funds and on banks, and the congressional leaders and the president stood up and said, we were going to put a backstop, we're going to stop this, we're going to do something, and then the run stopped. And we've come forward with a plan to reinvest in our economy, which is the main purpose of the bill, but we are not giving the government a blank check. We've cut the amount in half. Rather than giving the Treasury all the funds at once, the legislation gives the Treasury $250 billion immediately, then requires the president to certify that additional funds are needed, $100 billion. And later, the president, for 4 months from now, in the new administration, can certify that an additional $350 billion is needed, but it is subject to congressional disapproval. So there has been a check on the amount of money and more oversight on it. And finally, I think that the public is very, very concerned about protecting taxpayers' money, and it not only requires a review and oversight of the $350 billion, but gives taxpayers a share of the profits of participating companies and puts taxpayers first in line to recover assets if a company fails. And it requires the president 5 years from now to submit a plan to ensure taxpayers are repaid. They're calling it a recoupment from Wall Street making up any of the difference to taxpayers. Well, and this is very different from the three pages that the Paulson or president's plan was, which was a non-starter for Congress. It now is 106 pages and has oversight limitations on executive pay.
Well, let's talk about this evolution, because House Republicans yesterday were making much of the fact that they were the ones that came in and really put the details into this plan that are going to protect the taxpayers. And John Boehner, the House Minority Leader, was saying at a news conference yesterday that that it was John McCain who was the person who saved the bailout for the U.S. taxpayer. Take a listen to this, and I want to get your reaction, Congressman Maloney.
If it were not for John McCain supporting me at the White House when I said, whoa, whoa, time out, they'd have run over me like a freight train. And I'm grateful for his support.
So is he calling you a freight train, Carolyn Maloney?
I think that statement is political and partisan, and we are in the midst of a financial crisis. We should be working together in a bipartisan way to get this done. I was not at that meeting, but Nancy Pelosi and Barney Frank were, and they said that John McCain came to the meeting and did not say anything. And then he said he had a plan. And what's the plan? He did not have his plan. And then they came back with this idea of insurance, an insurance program to protect the taxpayers. And that has been added to the plan as a option. But it is not the plan that was put in place by the Democrats to protect the taxpayers. The recoupment idea came from John Tanner from Tennessee, from the Blue Dogs. They wouldn't go on until there was a guarantee that taxpayers would be made whole. Many of us, myself included, raised the point that taxpayers should have an equity stake. At first, we were told, no, you can't do that. But we insisted that we have warrants, that you have an option to participate in the upswing of a company, that certainly the managers of these failed institutions mm-hmm. should not be the ones to benefit in an upswing.
But that certainly triggers a question about the Secretary of Treasury here, which is we've heard it described, the plan, as giving him unparalleled and unfettered power in this whole notion of valuing these assets that the government is buying.
That's very true. They have something called market value, which is what people will bid for it on the street. And they're saying that they're going to be able to do a negotiated value. And my questions in the committee focused on this aspect. What is the negotiated value? And that this will protect taxpayers. I am very skeptical about this point. If there is an increased value, then Warren Buffett would be out there buying it up, as he has the $5 billion that he put in Goldman Sachs. But if you read that deal, he is getting an equity stake. So the best way to protect the taxpayers is to give them an equity stake in the assets they're buying.
Of course, then somebody could make the argument, though, that you decided to go where Warren Buffett would not go.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Right, but is that a good argument?
He'd be there buying them.
Is that where you want to be, though?
It's not where you want to be, but what's the alternative? I feel like it's sort of like going to the dentist. It's very uncomfortable, and no one likes it. It's very unpleasant, but it's only going to get worse if you put it off.
Well, how worried are you then? I mean, because if Americans buy this argument, and they may, and the markets may actually deliver a verdict that is consistent with what you're telling us here, but what if Americans don't buy this argument and basically just say, why did you do this to every legislator going home to campaign, and every single one of you are on the block this November?
That's very true. But what's the alternative? Go into a depression?
Well, no, the alternative for you would be not being elected. The alternative for you would not being reelected.
Well, what's more important, your election or saving the economy of your country? My mother, when she talked about the depression, God bless her, would just break into tears. No jobs. People lost their homes. People were begging for food. It just was horrible. I don't think we're anywhere near that. But it is certainly the worst economy since the 1930s that we're confronting.
Congresswoman, if a constituent says to you, what do you do if this doesn't work, what's your answer?
Well, hopefully, between now and then, we'll come up with other ideas to protect taxpayers and to help the economy as we move forward. But we cannot afford banks to fail. That's in the studies of the Great Depression. They say that the biggest mistake we made was letting these banks fail, and it put us in a downward spiral that took us longer to get out of. Well, so we're trying to stop banks from failing. We're trying to keep credit out there so that people can make payroll, so that people can pay their bills in these small businesses.
Well, you've certainly outlined what the stakes are in this debate as the House convenes in about an hour from now. Representative Carolyn Maloney, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, John.
Representative Carolyn Maloney is a representative from New York, and she sits on the House Financial Services Committee, will be one of the lawmakers who will be voting, presumably, on the bailout plan, which makes it to the House today and the Senate later this week.
You could hear some of the reservation in her voice. Interesting, right?
Indeed. Lots on the line.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.